right, well, it's 5:30-ish. We will call the meeting to order, the Public Works Committee meeting for Wednesday, February 1st, 2023, rescheduled from February 15th due to scheduling conflicts here at the Village Hall. Number one on the agenda is to, I would accept a motion to modify and or adopt the agenda.
So moved.
Move to adopt and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, minutes. We've got minutes from October 12th and December 14th. One's a loose leaf, here the 14th is, and the other one's a cash.
Right. Michael had caught that I had printed out older minutes. We had, before the January meeting, we had put together minutes for the December meeting. And if you recall, at the December meeting, we did have a few in attendance from Old River Condominium Association. We had failed to mention that. We had made that correction. And I apologize, but when I printed out the packet, I grabbed the wrong minutes, the older version. At the time of the meeting today, I handed out the revised minutes to reflect that. There were stakeholders from the Old River Condominium.
So there's the public appearance section?
Right there.
That's the only change.
That was the only change.
Right. And I have one if somebody wants to look at it.
I will make a motion to approve.
You doing both at the same time or one at a
time? We can do both at the same time. Right? The October 12th and December 14th. Motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed. Public appearances? Nobody here. Any communication received?
No.
Nope. Okay, moving right along to new business number four.
Yeah.
Discussion action, preliminary resolution to levy storm lateral special assessments.
This year we're proposing to reconstruct the following streets: Roseland Boulevard, Karen Lane, Alloway Terrace, Jackson Street. As part of the project, those properties that don't currently have a storm lateral, one will be installed. The cost to install is assessable. This will begin the process of notifying the residents of the special assessment. There are no other special assessments connected to the street project. In your packets tonight, you have an outline summarizing the special assessment process. You have the preliminary resolution of intent to levy special assessments. You have the notice of special assessment hearing. We'll have to talk about when to hold that. We have looked at the schedule, and I have a recommendation for that. Along with that, there's a letter that will go out to those impacted or benefited from the new storm lateral. That will go out after the Village Board has adopted the preliminary resolution of intent to special assess for the storm lateral and has decided on a public hearing. Also included in your packet is an engineering report on the special assessments. What you don't have right now are the calculated special assessments for each property. We're currently working on that. I'm hopeful by mid-morning, early afternoon tomorrow, we'll have a draft of that ready for the Village Board meeting Tuesday next week.
And 2 to 25 is kind of the guesstimate at this point?
Yep.
Averaging at 21?
Yeah, looking back at what we had been provided for unit prices to install a new lateral, we're estimating somewhere between $2,000 and $2,500. We're hopeful by getting this project, by advertising this project early, we get better unit prices and that cost will come down.
Was it this type of project in previous meetings where residents had suggested that they get notified earlier? Am I remembering correctly?
I'm trying to think back at the Roseland Boulevard street project. There could have been.
Has anyone been notified yet?
Yeah, we had initially before the project had started, before we went out and completed the survey, we'd sent out a letter to make those that are located within the limits of these street projects aware of the upcoming project, and that Ari Smith was going to be out to start the survey.
Mm-hmm.
So to start the process, the special assessment process, the first step in the process is to approve the preliminary resolution of intent to levy special assessments for storm laterals. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get that, hoping to get a recommendation from this committee to the village board to move ahead with that approval on Tuesday next week, mm-hmm. along with set the date for the public hearing. Mm-hmm. And looking back at what we have done in the past, we've always set that public hearing date for that first village board meeting in March. And then shortly thereafter, then we pushed to get these projects out. I'd be hoping to begin advertising the first project the day after the public hearing, and then 2 days after that, the second project.
Mm-hmm. Is this the same process you've used in previous times when you have
yes.
a special assessment?
Yep, there is a process that we have to follow, and that was provided in the summary that I've provided. Mm-hmm. The steps needed in the day, the notices that have to go out.
That's actually a statute.
It is a statute, yeah. Yes. What statute? That's a statute off the top of my head. 66? Yeah.
So I have a question if you're done. Are all the assessments, how many properties are involved, you think?
We're currently working. It varies by street. I'll have that information available by the time of the village board meeting. But
all the properties 20? Get yeah. assessed the same amount for the lateral. It's for the assessment. You're not doing
generally,
it on a per foot basis.
It is by yes and no. It is.
I don't have that.
So oh,
that's an example, I think.
Yeah.
It's not actual.
Yes.
Right?
To the fact.
If you turn to the engineering report on special assessments, the method of assessment, the way that we calculate that special assessment is described.
So that's not actual. That's an example.
Exactly. That is an example of how we determine the cost. We take the total footage of the new storm laterals, we multiply it by the bid unit price. We take that total and divide it by the number of properties on that street.
All right, so they all get. It's either by foot or it's by each property. So you're doing it by property.
Yeah,
and each pay the same.
And we do that because no one can argue then where we put the storm sewer.
Right.
For the most part, everybody's assessed the same amount for that street.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because I was kind of asking.
For those that don't know, the storm sewer, the sanitary sewer is generally speaking right down the center of the roadway. Your water main is on the other side, and it has to be no less than 8 feet from the sanitary sewer. And then on the other side, you have your storm sewer. And the water main needs to be no less than 8 feet from the sanitary sewer, and then there are restrictions on, if you vertical clearances as well. That's the DNR administrative code requirements.
This is for the sewer itself.
Storm sewer.
They have to pay for a lateral to it?
Themselves? The storm lateral assessments are the only thing that are the only work accessible for this project.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is this is for the sewer lateral. This isn't for the lateral itself. I mean, this is to the property line, and they are responsible.
You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, this is for the new lateral from the main and the street property line. From the property line to the home would be the homeowner's responsibility.
Does the village finance this for them if they want?
Yep, we do. We do offer a financing plan, a 5-year financing plan. Mm-hmm. If it's not so. What will happen after the project has been completed, and the final cost is known? Then I'll bring the final special assessments to this committee. Then they'll go to the village board, and it will be based on actual cost, and that will happen sometime in spring summer of next year. We'll mail those out.
Did you say this was for homes that do not have one?
Right, that currently don't have one. Now, right. Now homes that are currently served with a storm lateral, we will remove and replace that at no expense to the homeowner.
But if two homes are splitting a single, then do they then split the cost?
Yes. There are some cases where we found that two properties share an existing lateral. Our code requires that the properties be individually served by a storm lateral. In that event, the two properties will share in the expense of that one new lateral. Yep, and that existing lateral will be renewed at no expense to the.
So in this properties. Example, two homes would split $2,100.
No, yes. In this example. Yes. Yep.
No, I thought that each home gets the same assessment. You're talking laterals and you're talking
assessments. Well, there's
two different things.
Well, in the event that there's a shared lateral.
Lateral.
Yes. Then they would
but
share.
But they've already paid the assessment.
For one.
Different.
They've already paid.
Each one pays the same assessment for the storm.
Unless it's been determined that there was a shared lateral. In that event, they split. They share the cost of one new lateral. Yeah.
I think the example, I'm trying to understand too. So the example of 20 are 20 homes that actually don't have a current lateral, right?
Well,
in this example, it's not all 20 on the street.
Well, there could be on a particular street, let's just say there are 18 properties that don't currently have or share a lateral, and then there could be two that currently share one. So you could have, you would have 20 properties, but you would divide that number by 19 because.
But the 10 additional that already have their own lateral don't even equate into this. No. They're not paying a dime.
Right.
They're not being assessed at all. It's not split across the entire block.
Yep.
It's just split among those that either share a lateral or don't have a lateral at all. And those that share a lateral, they're assessed at half the rate.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But I can bring up an example.
I don't quite understand that. So, if you run this, you're running a storm sewer in. That's part of this.
Yep.
So you're going to run a storm sewer in, and you're going to put laterals into a lot, and that goes into the assessment. And that's part of the assessment.
Yep.
So why wouldn't whether you go in with one lateral? Why would each pay half? I don't
well,
quite understand.
They're, yeah, for whatever
because
reason.
Because that'd be that argument that you just had that the storm sewer's on the other side of the street. Why do I got to pay for this long lateral? Well, if you can service two properties with one, why would they benefit versus me, the neighbor, who's got to pay for my full one just because of the logistics of it?
Well, we've determined, and I could bring up the special assessments that were levied. In 2021, and I can show you an example, but there have been instances for whatever reason. I don't know what the code was at that time, but maybe we were a little bit more flexible on our policy didn't necessarily match the code, and in some cases there were properties that shared a lateral, and that lateral was installed to the lot line, and we have record that they both shared in that expense way back when, not only on the as-built, but in the vault we have a file that provides information on special assessments. We've looked at that, and in most cases the what's shown on the as-built matches what was special assessed, but not always. There are a number of different records we look at to help determine how to apply the special assessment, but. The code is black and white that every property should be individually served, and that is not that can't be more true because of the issues that we run into, not on a weekly basis, but we've run into nothing but issues with these shared laterals because nobody wants to take ownership, not only repair but maintenance of that. They argue, and then we get involved to try to facilitate.
I gotta understand this from my history, but on the property they have separate ones, but on the street there's a joint one.
Yep.
So it's the community's responsibility on the street What do you care? Why would they take a responsibility for the where they're combined versus where they're separate?
The homeowner owns physically owns the line from the main to the home.
Even though it's on a roadway?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard of that. So I
yeah, no, my experience has always been it's the no, that's different for water services, you know.
Yeah.
For the water service.
Right, water is sewer, but I would assume the storm was the same.
Sanitary and storm sewer. The ownership is the homeowner's. The maintenance responsibility is the homeowner's.
Even in the street.
In the street. Now, our code has been written such that if there's a major defect within the street, mm-hmm. we'll assist that homeowner with that repair because of that with the additional burden of having to restore the street. And I can go through that with you.
I understand. I understand the difference. I've never seen that before. That's why I was kind of asking.
Yeah.
Do we have a rough idea of the percentage of LOA residents or properties that don't currently have a lateral?
I would say 60% have, 40 don't. And I've got to give you a rough number.
And out of that 60% that have a lateral, how many of those are shared?
It's somewhat unique, but we've found on this year's street projects, it's more often than not. And we've really spent a lot of time looking at these, looking at the as-builts, looking at any records that we have, permits that were pulled, sump pump records, going into the vault to look, because I wish I could tell you we had complete records, but we don't.
Yeah.
And you have to mend everything together to make a decision. And we've gone through them all. I feel comfortable, and I feel that I can defend all of these now. But it's been quite a process. We will be finishing these special assessments tomorrow morning. We've got them all determined. We just haven't had the chance to put them in a spreadsheet.
So if this is for properties that don't have storm laterals,
yep.
Then the idea of a shared one is a non-issue. Is that right?
I don't have storm laterals. Or share one currently,
right,
because
right.
If they're there, they have to split the shared. So that's all new.
Right? Yes, by code, every property should be mm-hmm. individually served.
Mm-hmm.
So those that had shared one in the past, and in most cases shared the expense of that one in the past, a new one will be installed, and those two property owners will mm-hmm. share in the cost of that new one. That existing lateral will be renewed at the village's expense. And typically that existing lateral is right on the lot line. So then when we lay out these new laterals, we show them within feet of mm-hmm. of that existing one. In most cases, we're going to reconnect that shared lateral because I have no governing right beyond the right-of-way. But that other one will likely get capped in the event that shared service a shared lateral outside of the right-of-way on the private property fails, there is no facilitating. There's connect to the lateral in front of your house,
mm-hmm.
and that's an order. That typically would, you know, that, and not, it's in kinder words, but you have a storm lateral, please connect to it.
You kind of answered my question, because
yeah.
What you're talking about here is an existing lateral that has two connections into it.
Yeah.
You're going to replace it with a new one. You're going to put another one in, and
yes.
This village is going to pay for one, and they're going to split the cost
yes.
of the other.
Yeah.
I would have assumed they would have each paid for each one, but you're in effect saying, well, it was there already. We're going
to
cover the cost.
We have
You've
to credit,
answered my question.
We have to credit them for
yeah.
that existing
yeah,
one.
I understand.
I lost.
The last time, was it last year, maybe the year before, our estimates maybe weren't quite this high. But they came in 12 to 1,500 or something. So is there?
Yeah,
they
came in much lower, which
yeah.
is a nice surprise.
Yeah,
and I don't know if that trend will continue.
Hopefully
positive.
We do our best to try to come up estimate what that unit cost will be, and
okay.
we look it back at our past projects, and we don't want to be too conservative because
right.
we don't want to alarm anybody. But on the same hand, we have to be careful not to make it too low where the unit cost actually comes in above what we've estimated, and that's happened before, where we made a decision where the board made a decision not to reopen the special assessment process and to move ahead with what was provided initially to the homeowner and not ask for any additional money because the cost came in higher than what we anticipated. That happened in 19. So in 2021, we erred on the side of being overly cautious, and they did come in much lower, and everybody was happy. So, but there's a fine line there where...
Right.
And they will not have a choice. They have to have a lateral.
Yes, right.
Okay. And that's from the main to the property line.
Yep.
And then for properties that don't, are they again going to be offered like kind of the same rate to have the work done at the same time? From the property line to their house?
For private replacement, we don't offer a voluntary program for that. They're more than welcome to work independently with the contractor if they're at the beginning of the project, if they know they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We get out a letter before the project starts, and in that letter we provide the start date and we provide the name of the general contractor along with the name of the inspector.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's interested in that, they should call a general contractor or the inspector, and they'll get them in touch with the sub responsible for that work.
Mm-hmm.
And if that sub has availability, they'll, yeah.
So if not, then it's Captain Barry, and they just have something to the property line.
Yes. Yep. No, we were looking at some permits pulled recently, and actually there were a couple that were done after the fact for Roselawn. Then we reconstructed half of Roselawn in 2021, so...
And if there are properties, a single property that has two laterals, pre-existing,
wanting
to replace both of them, or TAPS allows both of them to be tapped in at no additional cost?
Say that again. I was trying to.
If a single property has two laterals, one on each side of the property, is the village still? Is there any extra assessment for that? Or
corner lot. You know that typically doesn't happen because when we look at. When we're determining those special assessments, we're looking at how do we best serve that property, and we're looking at sump pump records to determine where that sump pump is located.
Okay.
And if it's determined that it should come off the other street, we'll hold off, and we won't extend or install a new lateral to that property off of the street that's currently being reconstructed.
Okay.
Does your house have two?
Mm-hmm.
Yours has
these
two?
These cardinal situations get interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I probably have two or three because they come off my downspouts.
Wherever
the downspouts come away from the house, it goes to the sewer, but ours is private, so it's not.
Well, yeah, but there's probably just one connection to our system.
No.
Well, there may be multiple connections to a private interceptor storm sewer.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
With one connection to our storm sewer. Maybe one off of...
But I'm talking in the condos,
yeah,
so it's a little different.
That's a private system.
Saying that you could have a house... like yours that comes down out of the downspouts.
I haven't run into that before. I don't know that I...
If the
code is written such for special assessments, when a new storm lateral is installed, I guess that's possible on a corner lot if that property owner would ask for
two of them.
Yeah, that they would be special assessed for the installation of that new lateral.
But if they're already existing,
you wouldn't be. Right, exactly.
Thank you.
Right. Yep.
That's all I need to hear.
Yes. Right. That's, yep.
Well, think as it's the same process, and it's basically in law, I'll make a motion. We recommend the village board to approve the preliminary resolution to intend to levy special assessments to set a public hearing date of March 7th, 2023.
Second.
All right. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right. All opposed. Motion carries. We will forward that to the village board.
Thank you.
Moving on, discussion reports number 5, report regarding update 2023 street and utility reconstruction project.
Yeah, I'll bring that up on the screen. So the intent of this item is just to provide you an update on the street utility reconstruct project. We're currently working through pre-final plans right now. Our main focus recently was on the utility plan. and that was for the reason just discussed before, so that we could determine the special assessments associated with the installation of new storm laterals, so that that process could get started. We want to be able to bid this project early in March, and before we can go out to advertise bids, we need to hold a public hearing on the special assessments. With that being said, the scope of the street utility reconstruct project will be to remove and replace the existing pavement. That would include the curb and gutter, driveway aprons. It would also, in general, include improvements to the underground utilities, in some cases the relaying of sanitary sewer, water main, and storm sewer. It also includes the renewal of installation of the renewal of existing laterals and the installation of new storm laterals. Project also includes, after the utility work has been completed, the paving, placement of concrete curb and gutter, and concrete driveway aprons. On Roselawn Boulevard, we will be bidding an alternate to the project to construct sidewalk, no different than the way that we had handled the reconstruct of the west half of Roselawn Boulevard. For Roselawn Boulevard, the existing sanitary sewer is right down the center of the roadway. As you know, Roselawn Boulevard, there are divided and undivided segments. Where we have a divided roadway, we have an island. Within those islands, we have trees, and we have a sanitary sewer system that runs right underneath those trees. So to preserve those trees, we've elected another method of repair. We've used it before. Curtain pipe liner, and we will be moving ahead with that method of repair. We'll do that work prior to the start of the reconstruction project, and that will be separately bid. The other thing that on all of the streets, we always televise the sanitary sewer and the storm sewer, and we took a close look at all of the sewer on all of the streets. And on Roselawn Boulevard, we determined that the storm sewer, as is, could remain with some spot improvements, so we'll be making those spot improvements associated with the street. In general, because of the trenchless method of repair chosen for the sanitary sewer and limiting the repair to the storm sewer based on its existing condition, we're approximating that we're going to save somewhere between $175,000 to $200,000. Compared to a relay. So there's just cost savings there. The overall cost of the street reconstruct project, and that includes all four street projects, is just under $3 million. Right now we're estimating it at $2.7 million. Similar to past reconstruct projects, we're proposing to borrow for this work. And typically the discussion of that has already started, but we don't bond until we know what the actual cost is. And after the project has been advertised and the bids have been opened, then we'll know what the actual cost is. When the actual cost is known, then a decision will be made on how we'll proceed. So one other thing I wanted to point out, I may have mentioned it to a couple of you already, on Alloway Terrace, a couple things. On Alloway Terrace and Jackson Street, there are existing lead services within the right-of-way from the main to the curb stop. Those will be removed. We're estimating that there are 23 plus or minus. On the downstream side of the curb stop, from the curb stop to the home, is privately owned. We've looked through records. And in a lot of cases, we don't know what that existing material is, whether it's galvanized metal, copper, poly. I'd bet it's either copper or it's galvanized pipe. If it's galvanized pipe and it's downstream of lead, that galvanized pipe can contain lead. And in that event, we're still looking into how to properly handle that, but I believe we're going to have to offer the removal of that, the replacement of that line, but at the expense of the homeowner. We have a pretty good idea of the number of remaining lead services in our system today, and it's right around 100. After the reconstruct project, we're probably looking at somewhere between 70 and 80. We're only aware of a handful of privately owned lead services, but over the next year and a half, due to a DNR mandate, we're going to go into an extensive inventory of our water services, not only what's on the public side, but what currently exists from the curb stop up to the meter. We need to know what that is, and from that, then there may be a larger service replacement project. But we will be reaching out via letter to those that we believe to have we'll be reaching out to those that we believe to be served by a lead service, and we'll explain to them some precautionary measures to take during and afterwards. And I don't want to get into detail of that because I'm still trying to work through that. But the other thing I wanted to make you aware of on Alloway Terrace, the existing storm outfall right now, because of the grade on Alloway Terrace, we have a low point between Jackson and Van Buren. And that low point drains to an outfall, a storm sewer pipe that runs underneath a lot line between two homes, underneath part of a garage, and drains into the railroad tracks to the south, where it then drains under a culvert pipe into the cemetery. And when it enters the cemetery, we've lost. Our records show one thing, but we were unable to find where that pipe exists for a couple of reasons. One, I don't know the accuracy of our records. Two, the cemetery has recently, over the last few years, has filled in that area based on some work that they're doing in other locations. They're taking fill from one area and they're bringing it over there. Not only are they bringing the grade up, we can't find our manholes. And two, they're expanding their burial plots into that area. Because of that, we've designed a system that will no longer outlet to that existing outfall, but drain to Riverside Drive. Because of that, we've had to do some storm sewer modeling to look to see if the Monroe Road storm sewer has the capacity to take on an additional 12 acres of land. Watershed, and it's primarily residential. We've started coordinating with the DOT the likely upsizing of two pipe runs on Monroe Road from just south of Alloway Terrace to where St. Mike's Pub is. That's where that water then drains across Riverside Drive into a swale under the trail into the Fox River. Met with the DOT yesterday. Hoping to align the upsizing of that storm sewer pipe to happen when they plan to resurface Highway 57, which right now is tentatively planned for 2025 or 2026. The reason for that then is we can piggyback on their project, their temporary traffic control, their paving. And then you have the economy of scale, because there'll be other probably storm sewer improvements within that segment. So,
and that would be a resurfacing like they did 5 years ago?
Yes.
Six?
Might even been eight.
Yeah. I think it was 2017.
It's held up well. I mean, yeah, I remember at the time thinking, oh, great. But, no. Okay. Took away the corduroy road that was there, you know.
Yeah, they call that a Texas seal code, where they I had asked them about that yesterday. It's a mill and overlay project, but they had that concern with the cracking that it would reflect through. They milled out 2 inches, and before they put the pavement back, they put down a rubber mesh and then they paved on top of that. And that has done an excellent job. I don't see any reflective cracking.
You can do that on a lot of roads.
we should learn
highways.
Yeah. Yeah, relatively a new process.
Are the residents who have the lead lines, or are you getting funding at all from DNR? I mean, I see a lot of emails coming with funding opportunities and so on.
We didn't pursue it because most of the funding out there is for private replacement.
But isn't that what you're concerned with right now?
Well, we're only aware of a handful of private services that have existing lead.
I thought you said there were 100 of them.
On the public side, between the curb stop and the main, and a lot of the funding is not
for
that. Yeah. They think that's the utility's responsibility. Yeah. The funding's being funneled to the homeowner to encourage them.
Right, to change.
Yeah, yeah.
Can one assume, based on a year of construction, that they're is no longer lead, or when they quit doing lead?
Yeah, and I have talked to the water foreman a lot about this. We believe, the homes that were constructed right before World War II, that some of those may have been lead may have been used, but after the start of the war,
they needed it for
they
bullets.
Needed it for
yeah,
bullets.
Right, right.
So
that's a rough
time
idea.
Frame. Yeah.
So if someone wasn't sure what they have, is there a way they or you or somebody can check?
Well, that poses a challenge because there really is no good way. We could go in the basement and look at the service that where it comes through the floor before it connects to the meter. But I've been told in a lot of cases that. From where that service enters the floor and up to the meter, necessarily mean that the line between the home and the curb stop is the same material. It's often not. I've been told. Really, the only way to know is to hydrovac a hole on the homeowner's side of the curb stop. Go down. Look at it, yeah.
Lead-based testing, just not accurate enough to really give you a definitive answer?
It's tough because we add a phosphate, a corrosion inhibitor in our water to prevent corrosion of metal pipes. We do on an annual basis follow the DNR mandatory sampling of services, and knock on wood, we haven't had any exceedances of the current standard. You can test, but it's not a for sure. It can. The most proven way is to dig down, but that's an expensive way. But there are probably a handful of things that you can do. You can go down, if given permission, you can go down in the basement and look at the meter. You can look at the pipe material. You can dig a hole. You can do exactly what you say. You can test. You can take a sample. You can based off of older records, you can make an assumption. Yeah. So we're going to be starting that process very shortly. But that's where we're at with the reconstruct project. We're hoping to bid this project early in March, and with favorable pricing, then move ahead with the project.
Excellent. Thank you for the report. No action needed on that. Moving to number 6, regarding 2023 Sanitary Sewer CIPP lining project.
We've already talked about this in conjunction with the improvements being made to Roselawn. We're going to go ahead and bid a project to line the existing sanitary sewer, and that work will be done prior to the start of the reconstruct project.
Excellent. Did we do that on the other half?
We did.
Okay.
We
so
did.
That should be.
We had done that on St. Mary's as well.
Right. Yeah, we did that there too.
Yeah.
All right.
Number seven, report regarding 2023 street resurfacing project, Pazer ratings, and five-year capital improvement.
We are currently bidding a street resurfacing project for this year. That project includes Longview Avenue from Libel Street to East River Drive, East Mission Street from Webster to Libel, Derby Lane from Riverside Drive to Webster Avenue. We're hopeful with favorable bid pricing. We've provided alternates in the contract. Those streets include Kenny Street, Libel Street to Jenkel Terrace, Van Buren from Alloway Terrace to Derby. In general, the work consists of milling either a couple inches or the pavement full depth, and then repaving the roadways. Those newer streets, those streets that are 10 to 15 years old, typically are we mill 2 inches and we'll put back two. For those streets that are later in age, we'll come in to prolong the life of that pavement another 10, 15 years. We'll come in and remove that pavement full depth. We'll shape and compact the existing base below and pave on top of that. In conjunction with the work, defective curb and gutter will be removed and replaced. If sidewalk happens to be adjacent to the street, we'll remove and replace defective sidewalk. In some cases, if the curb and gutter that we're removing is adjacent to a driveway apron, we'll have to go back into the driveway apron and make a repair to the driveway apron. The estimated cost of the resurfacing project is greater than $500,000. The project is funded by the paving budget, which is $500,000, along with a handful of other Public Works Department budgets, accounts.
Sean, do you check the base thicknesses before you bid this, or when it's under construction, and if it's decent, do you have to excavate the whole thing?
Yep, we on those streets that we remove the pavement full depth, we proof roll those existing bases. Mm-hmm. And if we find that there's significant deflection, then we have in the contract as a supplemental bid item EBS, excavation below subgrade, where we'll come in and take what we need to provide a better foundation. Yep.
You guys always have unit prices on everything, too.
We do, yes. So. Yep. Yep. Because of lack of quorum in January, this has already been taken to the village board. They had approved the project as presented in the five-year CIP, and we've moved ahead with the bidding of this work. The project will open middle of February. When the results are known, we'll take it to this committee and then to the village board, with the likely start date of this project mid-May.
And Longview has sidewalks.
Yes.
The school.
Yep.
And we've done the whole East River sidewalk.
Yep.
It was a great project. It really came together. It seemed kind of quickly, even, you know, with the grading and everything before the winter. Any questions for Sean on any of those things?
And the other thing I should mention on this maintenance project is mainly to preserve and prolong the life of the existing asphalt pavements in Alloway. Now, if we run across a street where we know that the utilities below are in poor condition, that isn't a candidate for this type of maintenance project. Where we know that the utilities below are poor condition, that's a reconstruct project. And I bring that up only because of St. Francis Street. You may or may not know the condition of the utilities in the street. I know Ted is well aware of that, but I wanted to let everybody know that we had another water main break this past weekend.
For the record, I did not bring that up in this program. You brought it up first. There you go.
We caused the water break, though, did you?
Nope.
No. Okay.
We've now.
I sure wasn't happy to see another one.
We've now over the last 4 or 5 months. This is, I think, the third or the fourth water main break, and then now if you look at the CIP plan, and I can bring that up real quick. And we'll bring the CIP plan back before we start the planning of the 2025 street reconstruct project. But off to the side, we had other projects listed. In yellow, we had St. Francis Street. Well, St. Francis Street will now be moved into the 2025 project just because of the recent number of breaks that we've had on that
street. So that would be a redo.
That will be a reconstruct, yeah.
Is that ductile steel under there?
That's cast iron, yeah, cast iron water main. Brittle. And we've been on that street. We just recently repaired a failing storm lead, inlet, and manhole. And that's why if you look at this capital improvement plan and highlighted in brown, this is a fluid working document, and on an annual basis it changes because of the ever changing condition on our streets. So we'll revisit this, but.
There's no good way to line cast iron yet, is there?
No. Okay. The lining of water main is a
whole other issue.
Yeah, that's
pressure, right?
Well, it's
drinking water.
It can be done, but it's expensive. We had looked into it when we had that water main break to our transmission line north of 172. We had looked at a number of different repairs, one being lining that.
Yeah.
And it came in awfully expensive, and we ended up going with a different method of replacement, trenchless method of, we came in and drilled in a new line, and that was cheaper than lining it. So
Green Bay has lots of breaks all the time, and of course a lot of it is because their water comes from Lake Michigan. Have you noticed any difference in alloy because of the water from Manitowoc versus?
No.
Why is the water from Lake Michigan
colder?
It's colder?
Oh, yeah. Temperature of the water out of the wells are probably in the 50s, and out of the lake it's in the 30s.
Yeah.
So by the time it gets here, she's pretty cold.
And ours is coming from the lake.
Ours is from the lake, yeah. But it travels 43 miles.
By the time it hits us?
The water temperature when it arrives to the connection station is about 43 degrees.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Anything else for Sean on that? Moving on to number 8, report ARPA Public Works Department project.
Just want to provide a quick update on the ARPA projects. I think we're getting close to making a decision on which projects will receive funding. We had the Public Works Committee back, I don't know, if it was about 6 months ago, yeah, had made a recommendation and had made a recommendation for 5 projects. We've got 4 or 5 that have been discussed on a regular basis that we're hoping that we'll get funding. The spreadsheet in front of you here, if I can zoom in, just zoom in on the left side. We've already received approval to move ahead with a couple of projects. One was the Webster Avenue emergency sewer repair. If you remember back to last year, we had to make an emergency repair to the Webster Avenue sanitary sewer. That work has since been completed. We had received funding in the amount of $44,000. I think the cost came in slightly less than that. Because of that repair made, we were concerned. When we went in and made a repair, we had found that there was other issues. We found that the existing sanitary sewer in that area was in poor condition, and then we made a decision to televise all of the sanitary sewer on Webster Avenue from De Pere to Green Bay. We've since done that, and we've got stacks of televised reports that we will be looking through soon. Just have other priorities that we're currently working on, but we will get to that. We'd also receive funding due to a number of sinkholes associated with failed inlets, manholes, and storm sewer. We've taken on a larger spot repair to existing storm sewer. Below that, these are projects that haven't yet received funding that were endorsed by this committee. village water system. There are some improvements that we want to make at the pump stations and at the standpipe. At our pump stations, we have reservoirs adjacent to. We want to make some improvements that include fence, lighting, and some other things that that had been identified in the risk resilience assessment that we had completed in, I think it was early last year. GIS mapping renovations. We need to make wholesale renovations, improvements to our current GIS mapping system at an amount of about $200,000. Bulk share of that will be to go out and survey our existing utilities to make sure that they're accurately mapped, so we can be confident that our mapping is reflective of the actual conditions. And we kind of ran into that because we didn't have good mapping that reflected our existing storms, not so much storm sewer, but the storm laterals. We kind of worked through an issue with the TDS utility project. Fuel island repair, currently receiving quotes. I've received one quote, waiting to get a second to make a repair of the fuel island in the back. Below the fuel dispensers are sumps. The piping goes through the sump, then up into the dispenser. Where that piping enters the sump, there are seals. We found that those seals are in bad condition, are leaking groundwater into those sumps. Those sumps contain alarms, and the purpose of those alarms, purpose of the sump is to, if there happened to be a leak, diesel fuel or gas, it would be collected there and an alarm would go off. Well, every time it rains, we get water into those sumps and the alarm goes off. Then we have to go out and pump them out. The only way to shut off that alarm is to pump out that water. There's no way to override it, and that's good, because if there's a diesel fuel or gas, if there's a diesel fuel or gas leak, we want to make sure that we're responding right away. So, had received a quote in the amount of, I don't want to say anything out loud here because I'm still waiting to get another one, but estimating that repairs are going to be around $50,000.
For seals, huh?
Wow. Well, it's more in order to
concrete get, work and everything.
Yeah, in order to get to that, you have to call it the concrete pad. Yeah.
Is there a better system now that we should be replacing with instead, or
there
is just to sit tight with that?
A more expensive repair would be to run all of the piping above ground to the dispenser, then up into. But that would be quite a bit more expensive. We did consider that, yeah. Mm. Yeah, an above-grade entry into, yeah.
How much longevity should we expect out of these seals then if we do it that way? How long did the last
We're hoping to...
20 years.
Yeah, so. That's a pretty good bet. Yeah.
All right.
The other public works task that we're looking to get funded, it would be a more of a planning effort to take a look at a residential yard waste drop-off site and do some engineering to put together a plan to improve that, not only to improve the drop-off area, but to better handle the drainage, to possibly pave it, to cut down on the amount of maintenance, the amount of dust. The planning effort would also include looking at Lebrun Road. When we had considered a joint facility with neighboring communities, a joint yard waste drop-off site, through that discussion we have found that a lot of people don't feel safe walking down Lebrun with the heavy equipment on it. We want to look at the roadway and look at the width and look at building a multi-use path outside of the roadway for users to use. It would also include putting together plans to remove and replace an existing box culvert just east of the drop-off site. You probably, I don't know if you've seen it, but the road goes over a box culvert. look at the condition of that and replacement of that. It needs to be wider. If we're going to look at putting a trail through there, we probably need to have a wider structure. And then
it's an awful lot for $50,000.
Just design.
Holy cow!
And I put stage one. There could be a stage two, depending on what we find. Yeah,
okay.
As we work.
Planning.
Yeah. YZ Park improvements. Right now, we don't currently have water and sewer. Now, how can we provide that? We know that the Pier to the South, there's a cul-de-sac within probably 150 yards that is served by sewer water. That doesn't make sense to work with them to come off of that cul-de-sac to serve the park. Or do we look at a pump, a pressured system for sewer? Water is already pressured, but we're hoping to get some funding to start that effort, at least to put together some cost estimates so we know what those improvement costs will be. Then below, we've known for some time now that we need to look at our rates for the stormwater utility. Per ERU rate of $7.50 just barely gets us by. And we need to look to increase that to properly fund the maintenance and repair and replacement of our storm sewer system. So this would be a $300,000 injection into the utility to get us by until we can undertake a full rate case.
So how does that affect, like, our businesses that have paid to handle their stormwater runoff and our stormwater ponds? They still get levied at ERU, right?
It's not. They're billed. They're charged.
Okay.
Yeah, on their water bill. Yeah. Yep.
Well, we're charged on our water bill, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Residential and non-residential property owners are billed a stormwater user fee.
And I don't really drink stormwater. I don't understand that, but then
well, we have to handle it. We have to handle it, detain it, and treat it.
Anything else for the good of the order here? All right. Well, I would.
So moved.
Entertaining with you adjourned. And the second?
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Adjourn at 6:30. Yeah.